This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
That's John Martin, compelling column up at the Daily Memphian. You can check it out there. We got to take a break. Back in a moment, it is the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Chris Harrington will be back tomorrow. He's making his way across the Dakotas. We were a little iffy on the cell phone reception, so we'll talk to Chris about his travels and the NBA and everything else when he returns tomorrow. But Jeffrey, let's take up John Martin's suggestion. He's not the first to suggest it, but he's written a column arguing that what Memphis should do is look at the landscape, realize they're not getting into the Big 12, realize they're not getting into the ACC, and say, you know what? Let's make the best of the situation. While we have all these resources accumulated, let's see if we can persuade the people who are willing to step up on behalf of Memphis to step up and help us do something else, which is send the football program off to the pack and have the basketball program join the Big East. I want to break this down, Jeffrey, into a couple of questions. One is, do you think the assessment, it's never going to happen in the Big 12, the ACC, or its successor conferences, is a correct assessment, a clear-eyed, blunt acceptance of reality, and it is time to look for something? Because that's the threshold decision here that John made, was it's never going to happen, and so therefore we have to look for something else.
Okay, so obviously I wouldn't deal in the definite of never. So we're talking unlikely, because you want us to game it out. I do think upheaval is coming to the ACC. The question is, you're kind of sorting through what would, of the also-rans, what's the better situation? And it's not really clear to me. My biggest concern of this entire question is, all right, somebody's got to show me the math, because you are going to be at a drastic disadvantage in the Big East because they don't play football, and you are going to be sharing.
I was going to get to the threshold question first, but I will do the whole macro thing. In the Big East, the problem will be you're playing Villanova. They're doing revenue sharing. They don't have to give any money to a football program, and so they're putting all their revenue sharing money into basketball. Your revenue sharing money, and it's capped at $20.5 million, and that may go up, but it doesn't distinguish between schools that have football programs and schools that don't. So you're competing with a budget when you've got to give, let's be honest, right now it'll be more than half of their budget that they're giving to football. And so you're going to be in the Big East, you're going to be fighting with one hand tied behind your back. And in the PAC, you're going to be sending your football team across the country. And what we've seen so far in other circumstances where football teams are flying all across the country, it is a huge competitive disadvantage.
Yes. And then further, are we sure the $200 million thing stands to go.
Oh, no. We don't know that at all. Like, I at the end of my column that I wrote about this whole enterprise or effort Monday, I said, you know, I just threw in a paragraph. I said, what they should do is they should take all this money that they've gathered, and sure, they can't give it to the Big 12 because the Big 12 won't take it, but they should funnel it into the programs themselves. Well, that's a nice thing to say, but there's no guarantee that Lowe's, which might well have wanted to brand some Big 12 championship, whatever.
Right. 100%.
That doesn't mean they want to pay the Memphis quarterback or the Memphis point guard $5 million to stand in front of a Lowe's and sign autographs.
They're a publicly traded company.
Right.
They have shareholders that are.
Exactly. They can't just. They don't exist just to funnel money to Memphis.
They can, to your point, they can market the Big 12 tournament, whatever the.
If you're marketing the Big 12, that is an easier sell from a corporate perspective than saying, yeah, what we're going to try to do is funnel money to Memphis players. You know, that's a. And so now this is a different deal because you would think that the Big East, actually, there might be some corporate opportunities here. But it doesn't mean that the same enterprises that stepped forward in the effort to get into the Big 12, you can talk them into it. You can try to talk them into it. You can say, listen, I know it's not the Big 12, but it's the Big East. And you're in massive media markets in the Big East. But it's not automatic. We can't just assume that all that money can just be moved from A to B.
I think it's fair to say we can assume
some of it would not be.
Correct.
Right. So
now, to what degree is it diminished? I don't know. Does that mean it goes from $200 million to $100 million? Does that mean it goes from $200 million to $50 million?
So
I don't know.
That's in the category. There's a couple things, and there's two categories: is this desirable, and is it possible?
Yeah.
Right. So in the is it desirable category, we've discussed it's going to be harder to compete. You're going to be competing in the Big East with one hand tied behind your back, and you're competing in the Pac with one hand tied behind your back for various different reasons.
Yep.
But doesn't mean, by the way, they couldn't. Doesn't mean they couldn't do it, because particularly if Memphis has the full revenue share, the $20.5 million, I'm not sure that Villanova will have the, you know. So,
well, we also did you see the court ruling yesterday?
Yeah, I did see that.
So for those that don't know, also yesterday the courts have ruled that the collectives can basically keep operating the way they have been.
Right. Was it a court or was it an agreement? I thought it was just a fundamental agreement. Anyway, it is true. There was a dispute last week. Is all this revenue sharing that's happening through the university, $20.5 million that we can be paid directly, is that it? Or is all the work of the collectives are doing going to be allowed to take place on top of it? And there was some question about that. And now it appears that all the work that the collective's doing is still going to be allowed to take place on top of this. So anyway, so it doesn't mean Memphis couldn't compete in football, and it doesn't mean they couldn't compete in basketball, but there would be some challenges. That's into the question of whether it's desirable. I will say this. The opponents that you would have in football are better. You can tell me, I've heard people say, well, Boise isn't Alabama. No, it's not Alabama, but it's not Tulsa either.
It's also,
you know what I mean? It's a hell of a lot better than what you've been playing. It's at least.
I would imagine butts in seats. They can spin on it. The Boise game is the most attended game in the non-SEC category.
So it will 100%. It will be a better football schedule, and it would be a stunningly better, compelling basketball schedule. Because let's be honest, that's what's driving John's. And you could hear him, like John talking about this. Once we stopped talking about Tellurides and started talking about this, he's passionate about it. And he's passionate about it primarily, my assessment is, because he hates what Memphis basketball is becoming. It is becoming something with very little interest during the conference schedule. It's just you go out of loyalty. And as he points out, you don't now connect with the players because you don't even know who the players are. But what you do connect to is brands. And if you look at Parth's story today at the Daily Memphian, where he contrasts the attendance for the conference schedule, the butts and seats attendance for the conference schedule versus the butts and seats attendance for the non-conference schedule, it's dramatic. In fact, they have played, according to Parth's story, 29 Power 5 teams under Penny, right? and the average attendance for those. Now, some of those were early in Penny's tenure when attendance for everything was higher. So, again, none of this is perfect. You can go look at the numbers yourself. They got charts in this story that Park did, and I'm always impressed by charts. For the Power 5 teams, average butts and seats, 9,521. Again, last year, conference schedule, butts and seats, 6,072.
Yep.
You go because you love Memphis, because you're loyal to your school, but you don't go to see
And you
us.
Already paid for the tickets.
And you already paid for the tickets. And you've been paying for the tickets for years. But you don't go because you are drawn by the tilt that you are going to be watching unfold. You don't have that. Oh, my God. You know, an Ole Miss fan gets to go, and they're whether they're playing Mississippi State in basketball or Alabama in basketball or whoever it is, Kentucky is coming in there or Tennessee is coming in there. You're like, man, I'm going to see it tonight. This is going to be a tilt. You never have that. Never anymore. You know, once upon a time, you're like, well, Houston. Okay, we got the one Houston game.
Yep.
And then you're trying to, well, Florida Atlantic, is that a right? No, no. That was a one-time thing. So, UAB. Oh, come on, man. Come on. They crushed UAB over the years. Crushed UAB. UAB is not a on the same scale. So I do understand the impetus for it. Do you believe, I guess, Jeffrey, for me, I get back to what I said. And I know this is something I should either be, yeah, do it, or no, don't do it, right? But I really come back to what it all starts with is not just a clear-eyed, but a really informed sense of the possibilities, right? And it's one of the things that, to me, I'd love to know more about this. You know, Bill Hardgrave has been out there talking to university presidents, you know, endlessly over evidently over the last year and a half, right? And presumably, this is the only thing I can surmise, is that they, when they put forward this plan this offer to the Big 12, they had some sense that it might be greeted positively, or you wouldn't have put it forward. You wouldn't have formalized it. You would have these conversations and you'd say, what if I do whatever? And if you knew that whatever, the vast majority had no interest, you wouldn't type it up and have them look, you know, because then you know it's being leaked. And so you wouldn't subject yourself to that humiliation.
See if you think this is plausible. What if you've met with some of them and they are encouraging, and then you largely met with the commissioner who...
And the commissioner misread the room then?
Yeah.
That's possible. I know that so what bothers me about it is, because I think what matters here, and no one can predict the future 100%, particularly when it comes to this stuff. Like as Justin Fuente said yesterday, who would have predicted that Stanford would end up in the ACC?
Yeah.
Right? But are they getting feedback that it's over? Are they getting feedback that, hey, you know?
Well, no one's going to tell you it's over because everyone delivers.
They want you to be.
Right. And everyone delivers. They also want to keep the option of, you said $200 million,
but
right?
Isn't there a way to get an actual reasonably informed assessment of the possibilities going forward?
I mean, to me, the question I want answered if I'm the decision makers is, did TV really pull the plug?
Right.
Because what if what you're proposing, which is, I met with all the presidents, everybody was good to go, we felt good to go, we turned in our proposal, it was great, everyone signed off on it, two thumbs up, and then at the 11th hour, a TV exec said, no, we're not.
What I'm actually saying is that I have a real sense that that is what happened in 2016. I don't know so much what happened this time, but I do believe that they misread the room in some way, or someone misread the room.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you have to say that's true. I don't think, to your point, Memphis is not doing this if they didn't feel like there was a pretty good shot. So, to me, though, it's a very different thing if the commissioner misreads the room of, I thought I had the numbers, like he counted the votes wrong. That's a very different thing than if someone that wasn't even involved in the process had the power to come in at the 11th hour and say,
right.
No,
yeah, screw it.
Absolutely
not. The other thing, when you said does the math work? What's interesting is that with the Big 12, yes, Memphis was foregoing TV money for 5 years. And yes, Memphis was saying you can kick us out after 5 years. And I think they said that, as you suggested yesterday, confident that they wouldn't be kicked out, because it's hard to do that. But in the end, Memphis is betting that long term we are going to be getting more TV money. That is the bet. Like, that is the bet. And so I do think a part of this plan, John's plan, the math that needs to be done is still you got to look at the TV money. Like, you got to look at what is going to be available from the PAC. And so far, we're not persuaded by that, right?
It's going to be, I know this, it's going to be less than the AAC. Right. And this is the other reality of the Big East. While it is undoubtedly a better league, their only inventory is selling basketball games. And those basketball games are about 30% of what selling football inventory is.
So I don't know, again.
I think there's a reason why UConn.
John drives it by, my God, we got to have a better basketball schedule.
Yeah.
And I think that is true. But I think there's a lot of other things that have to and will go into this decision of what comes next. And in the end, I mean, this is what Ed Scott said last time, the last PAC debate. Everyone's like, we got to get out. He said, the math didn't work. And in the end, I believe him. I don't think the math worked. And the math still has to work. Yes, much more compelling. And I hate to see Memphis basketball dying on the vine, because that is what is happening here. Memphis basketball is dying on the vine. But
I also think that's what's frustrating to fans is, in the end, what, like these obvious solutions, like, they don't work out because everyone sits there. Like, you don't have to be a financial expert to sit there and go, wait a minute here. So you got to pay $25 million to get out. Okay, so we're starting there. You're going to go to a league that, in football, it's unclear what they're going to pay you. They're saying their full members get around $8 to $9 million. So it's obvious to assume at best we're getting six there. And what, we're getting three from the Big East. So now we've just, not only did we just pay $25 million, we're going to lose $2 million every single year to have a better schedule. Now you can make the argument, hey, we're going to try to recoup that by, we're going to sell more tickets. Fair. We're also going to have donations go up. Maybe.
In the meantime, the Athletic did a rankings, Jeffrey, always rankings.
Oh, yeah.
They did a ranking of what every Power Four, that's what it is now, Power Four football team, if they could be, if it were a pro franchise.
Right. If it were on the open market.
What would it sell for? And they had their own way of coming up with the numbers. I'm not going to go into that. I don't think you can really particularly dispute their number one choice. The most valuable program would be Texas at $2.38 billion.
No issue.
No issues with that?
No.
Number two would be Georgia at $1.92 billion.
I was a little surprised. I think that's kind of some recent success bias, but okay.
Number three, Ohio State.
I would have thought they would have been higher.
Oh, if anything, it's only that they would have been higher.
Yeah.
They would have been there with Texas.
Yes.
As the most valuable, maybe ahead of Georgia. Right.
Yep.
Number four, Notre Dame.
Same thing, if anything.
If anything, could have been higher.
Let me just say this. I really do think if these franchises went for sale,
they'd be for more than that.
Well, A, they'd be for more than that.
Don't
I
you
would
think
be
so? I mean, if
100% more.
The
comp was the Carolina Hurricanes sold for this.
The Carolina Hurricanes what?
The Carolina Hurricanes basically sold for the, I think, $2.5 billion.
You don't think Michigan football is worth more than the Carolina Hurricanes?
Yeah, 100%.
More. Michigan football is number five at $1.83 billion.
And also, I just do not believe if all these programs went for sale that Georgia would be sold for more than Notre Dame. I just do not believe that at all.
I think you're right, too. Alabama, six. I think these are all... These all should be in the top 10.
Yeah. Right? No, I'm no problem with that.
Oklahoma, seven.
Yeah, I still, that's the thing is, like, because Oklahoma gets lumped in with Texas, there's always like this, they're kind of second rate. But like, had Oklahoma just called on their own and said, we're going to the SEC, they would have made way.
A lot of this is based, by the way, the biggest number that they're using here is football revenue.
Yeah.
Is the amount of football revenue they have. Texas dwarfs everybody else. Texas has $183 million of football revenue. And no one else is. The next closest is, in fact, Georgia at 147.
Yes.
And then Notre Dame at 143. Anyway, Georgia, I'm sorry. So we were down to Alabama 6, Oklahoma 7, USC 8, Tennessee, go Vols, 9. Here's what they said about Tennessee. Texas, Notre Dame, and Michigan, the only programs that reported more football revenue than Tennessee in the last fiscal year. The Volunteers, however, were outside the top 12 in some pre-pandemic accounting and have a recent history that we can politely call volatile. This price puts them slightly behind the 2023 valuation of the NHL's Tampa Bay Lightning. Nonsense. Anyway, LSU is 10 at $1.23 billion. When you look through these schools, what you realize is, and you pointed this out off the air, it's good to be in the Big Ten or the SEC.
There are only two schools in this top 25, or the top 20, I think. So you get Florida State that cracks, what, 16, 17? I'm trying to pull it up because I just had the chart in front of me because we love charts here.
Is this, by the way...
Florida State's 18. That's the first nine.
Also then shorthand for... Is this a shorthand for what are the best jobs / best program, or not best program? Because that winning.
I think
job, like, is Texas the best job? It is the richest program. It is the most valuable program. It is the best job. Again, the top five: Texas, Georgia, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Michigan. Are those the five best jobs?
So I think they've nailed. I'm just not as convinced in this universe that Georgia is there, but I do agree with the other four.
Why not Georgia?
Because Georgia...
Because there's only one SEC school there. And no, two. I guess Texas is one.
Right.
But so, I got to adjust my mind.
I don't think Georgia is fishing... I don't think Georgia has the same budget that the other schools do in terms
Georgia
of buying players.
Georgia has the second highest 100 of football revenue.
No, but I'm saying... So, to me, best jobs defined by... Who's got the most money?
Well, they got the second most money.
But that's revenue. That's like selling tickets and everything. So, like, that to me... To me, like, that's not necessarily, it's like, who, like, Georgia doesn't have a billionaire that doesn't care about sports that just says, here's $15 million, go get a quarterback.
Who gets the most money, who has the most money to spend on players.
Correct. That's all that matters.
So there you go. Where's Ole Miss?
Ole Miss was at the bottom, they're behind Miami and Arkansas.
Ole Miss is between...
Like 24, maybe, somewhere in
why
there.
Why is Ole Miss behind Arkansas?
Arkansas has definitely more revenue.
$80.8 million in revenue. Ole Miss has $73.8 million in revenue. And a lot of this just tracks revenue.
Correct.
Honestly. That's why they do this.
Arkansas, though, only school in the state. You're up in a pretty wealthy area up in northwest Arkansas. I can buy that.
One of the interesting things is I wouldn't have expected Minnesota to be top 25.
It's a pretty big city.
Big city, Big Ten, $80.2 million in
a lot of money up there too.
In revenue. All right. We got Sam Hardiman coming up next. We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies, the lease situation. Also, more XAI. So we'll do that coming up next. Before then, I will tell you that this is the moment to get into O'Call, the semi-annual sale. There is savings up to 50% now. Up to 50%. When the semi-annual sale begins, that's a great moment. But when the savings get to be up to 50%, this is when you got to get in there and take advantage of these massive savings. Men's and women's merchandise throughout the store, up to 50% off. Get in there. People wait all year for the semi-annual sale. The clothes are absolutely spectacular. It is a legendary store. One of the best clothing stores in America. And right now, you can get in there, get all the fabulous people, the same folk people who are there all year long, help you through the Christmas season. Really, they make the place, but the clothes are spectacular. And right now, the savings are as well, up to 50% off. It is the spring and summer semi-annual sale at O'Call. Sam Hardiman, when we return, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Sam Hardiman. Sam from the Daily Memphian. covers the city and caused a little bit of a stir with a story yesterday. And it was revisiting the timeline of the Grizzlies and their lease. I recall that earlier, Sam, you had a story.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Where Memphis Mayor Paul Young had said he was hopeful that the lease would be completed this summer. And now, evidently, he has said it won't be completed this summer. Is that correct?
That is correct. Sorry, a train is entering the picture here.
That just establishes your Memphis bona fides. You know, that I know now you're not like, you know, in some you know, far-flung space. You're here in Memphis with us where we got trains running through the city.
I am watching it run along Poplar Avenue right now. In February, when Memphis Mayor Paul Young was essentially securing the last pieces of public financing for the Grizzlies and the renovations to FedEx Forum, he gave the city council this timeline and then later me in the hallway asking some further questions where he said he hoped to have a deal done with the Grizzlies by the end of the summer. Last Friday, I had an interview with the mayor about other things. And as I'm prone to do, I kind of come with a shopping list in such interviews. And it was, you know, dawning on me that we're in midsummer. And so I was wondering where things were with the Grizzlies. And the mayor essentially said he didn't want to put a timeline on it, but it would not be done this summer, the deal with the Grizzlies. And yeah, I mean, the social media reaction to that story yesterday was clearly something else. I will say,
active. It was active, or it was doom and gloom, or how would you characterize the?
I would say both. I would say, like, I kept checking my Twitter, X, whatever we call that app now, notifications, and I'm like, this is exceptional. and exceptionally high. And then just there was a lot of reaction of like, oh, the Grizzlies are leaving. Oh, my goodness, the Grizzlies are leaving. The Nashville Grizzlies, the Seattle Grizzlies, the Las Vegas Grizzlies. And nothing in the story would suggest the Grizzlies are leaving. The story would suggest that there is just not yet a signed lease between the Grizzlies and the city of Memphis and Shelby County.
The quote, optimistic, he said. He still said he was optimistic, I believe. I have the story up. Isn't that what he – how did he characterize it?
Yeah, he characterized that he's optimistic they're going to reach an agreement with the Grizzlies. I would say that, you know, I don't think – if the mayor wasn't optimistic, I don't think he would say. But I'm not also, you know, parsing his words so much right there to read anything into what he said besides the fact that they're still talking, which I believe to be the case and do know to be the case through my reporting.
So what's interesting, too, is that so the money is all there now, right? Like the money has been accounted for. So the money that is needed to do what needs to be done is there. And so there's something else. There's some other reason that the lease hasn't yet been negotiations haven't been completed and the lease hasn't been signed. And no one really says what those things are. There's one paragraph in the story here. As the Grizzlies city and county plod toward a second lease, the city is working on beautifying downtown. The Grizzlies, throughout the past few years, have quietly made it known that the team would like to see a cleaner and safer downtown. Is that what we think the wait is for until the moment when we have a clean and safe downtown?
You know, again, I want to be careful in what I say here. You know, the mayor, when I ask him that question, says that he thinks the city's efforts on that front will help, right? And so he, I think, is acknowledging in some way that that is part of the issue. I would say, you know, we've talked about this in the past. You know, the last few years have not been kind to downtown Memphis, right? And I would imagine that that perception has maybe taken a toll a little bit. And so at the same time, the Grizzlies have not said anything about this. They have not, you know, said why we don't have a deal. And that, you know, that silence, you know, is interesting. And so I'm going to be very vague here and just keep, you know, kind of word salading a little bit. Because
I appreciate that. Yeah. I do think a couple things bear saying that I'll just say. One is that if the Grizzlies had wanted to leave, I said this yesterday, if they'd wanted to leave, and you reported this back on when you were at the CA, then we're reporting on it from opposite publications, but there was a moment when there was a shortfall in the lease such that triggered the termination clause. And had Robert Parra at that point, do you remember what year that was, Sam?
I think the shortfall provisions probably triggered in early 20.
Yeah.
Or maybe even earlier.
Yeah, I think it was probably even earlier than that. And so they could have left. Like there, boom, shortfall, termination, early termination triggered. He could have been up and out of here. And instead they rewrote the lease to guarantee that, you know, to provide, so both sides were happy with the lease taking you through 2029. So I do think that backdrop has to be considered here as people get all alarmist about stuff. Having said that, the part that worries me is I don't know when Memphis is going to, you know, we have till 2029 now. I don't know that in the next 6 months Memphis is going to have a clean, vibrant and safe downtown. So I don't know. It's a lot of times, okay, well, if we do this, then there will be a deal. This seems to be, I know you're talking in word salad, vague terms, but that's because no one has ever said what the actual terms are. Right? I mean, we don't know what we're waiting for exactly. No one has ever, from either side, has come out and precisely said, this has to happen, and then we will have a signed lease.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids to a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yeah, that's right, Jeff. And no one has explicitly said that. And what I would say also to, you know, frame it for people, for the Grizzlies, whether they were to leave or not, right? At this point, the Grizzlies' lease is done at the end of the 28-29 season. So how many NBA seasons hence from now? We got 25-26, 26-27, 27-28, and 28-29.
24 more seasons, right.
We have four more seasons. In terms of finding an alternative home after 2029, time is getting very short on that front, okay? It takes a good deal of time to move a franchise, right? Like, you would need to have a place to play. You would need the league to agree to it. None of those things happen fast, right? And I'm saying these things right now, and people are going to be, like, alarmist that I'm even saying these things. As far as I'm aware, that's not on the table. Right. But what I would say to people is, as this drags on, the only real deadline is 28-29, right? And essentially you're agreeing to a lease for something that happens after that, right? The Grizzlies are very unlikely to leave, I would say, at this point in 2029, right? It is a matter of, do you have a deal that keeps them long-term or for several more years after 28-29 would be the question I would have, not whether or not the Grizzlies are just up and out here in 28-29.
Do we think it's some shorter-term?
The Grizzlies, go ahead.
The way you phrase that, by the way, I'm a little skeptical of the Grizzlies moved here in 3 months. I mean, you know, they literally the same year, I think it was, that they figured out a way, you know, and I don't know, like, the A's have been trying to get out of Oakland for forever, but now they stash in the damn, it's a disaster, but they're stashing the team in Sacramento for 2 years. If you want to, like, I don't want to be alarmist either, because I'm not really alarmed, but I do think, but I agree with you that the deadline is 28-29. One of the things that you said that was interesting, though, is, or for several years thereafter. Do you think one of the things that might be being contemplated, again, no one talks about this, is a shorter, like, this was a 30-year lease. Do you think they might be looking at, hey, well, let's do 5 or 10 or some? I assume any lease, just like the last one, would have outs along the way. Do you have any information one way or another whether a shorter lease is being contemplated?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I have information. What I would say is the conversations that I have, I'm just going to word salad again.
That's fine.
I'm just not even saying anything.
Don't say anything. That's fine. I know it's all very sensitive. And the truth of the matter is, is that the reasons the Grizzlies don't say anything is they don't want to be alarmist. Honestly, they don't. In fairness to the Grizzlies, I'm surmising here. They, unlike a lot of places, have never asked for a new stadium, you know, like in Oklahoma City, and they never made public demands, and they've never threatened to leave. And literally, so all of this is that we're people are coming up, filling the silence with their own thoughts of this, right? And as the day looms, but there's nothing they have ever done or said that is any indication that they might be a threat to leave. But I do think, do you think the mayor, by the way, originally when he gave that timeline, was it because the city council wanted a timeline? Is that why, was he answering? Like, I suspect, like, the Grizzlies are very hesitant to give injury timelines, because if you don't meet them, this is what happens. People get alarmed, right? What were the circumstances of the original timeline?
Yeah, I think the mayor definitely wanted to give a timeline. And I think the mayor also, you know, probably had a lot of optimism towards that, right? And for whatever reason, something happened along the way to adjust the timeline. To your point about injury timelines and other things, the reason you don't give timelines is then a reporter follows up and says, well, you gave me this timeline.
That's right.
You know? And so, yeah, I think that's a lot of it. I think at the same time, like, the sides, I can say this very, the sides are still talking.
Right.
And that it's, you know, to your point, it has been filling the silence. And we had this summer 2 years ago when we had, you know, the U of M and the Grizzlies vying for a large pot of money, right? And that sort of inflamed a lot of things and made this, you know, process a lot of, you know, just a lot of discussion about it, right? And now we've had sort of 2 years of silence and people are starting to get worried, but silence isn't necessarily bad.
Right.
Like, silent, like, it's certainly a lot better than the Grizzlies making saber rattling noises. Hey, we're leaving. Or, hey, we just went and talked to, you know, so-and-so in this city. Right. Right? Like, we're not having that. And so it's,
No, honestly, it's in contrast. Yeah. Like, you hear, like, I think Portland wants a new state. You often hear saber rattling. It is sort of from the major league playbook that you get. That's what you get, is you get saber rattling to get what you want. And I think in that way, it is to the Grizzlies' credit that they don't do that. Some optimism from them would be nice. I'll be honest. Just to say that as a Memphis citizen. But there you go. All right. Other matters, Sam. I appreciate your delicate efforts to talk about that and the story that you wrote yesterday. You did have a story, and it wouldn't be a Sam Hardiman segment without an XAI update. Second data center, Colossus 2. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. They've decided to call it Colossus 2.
I love that.
I was personally hoping for a different name, but go ahead. Yeah.
Did you have a name in mind?
No, I wasn't like trying to name the data center like a goldfish. It was just more of like, you know, like, I was like, you know, in terms of writing about it, the efficacy of writing about it, like, I have to make sure I'm saying Colossus 2. Like, then I'm putting in print like the address next to it, like, and it's a whole thing with the copy desk of like, are they sure which one I'm talking about? Are they pulling the right photo? It becomes a whole thing.
Oh no, you can't have a photo of Colossus 2 up when you're talking about Colossus 1. This puts all new pressure on the desk. So what is Colossus 2, and what's happening with Colossus 2?
Yeah, so Colossus 2 is that 5420 two-lane road in Whitehaven. It is literally a couple hundred yards from the Mississippi border, okay? And it's right off Holmes Road. You go to the links of Whitehaven, you take a left onto two-lane, and you're right there. And so Colossus 2 is about to get 110,000 GB200 NVIDIA chips, which are some of the more advanced Blackwell chips from NVIDIA that are essentially the backbone of large language models and artificial intelligence. These are very expensive, very advanced machines, essentially. And Elon Musk tweeted yesterday a picture of what appeared to be him. Maybe it was him, or maybe someone sent him the picture. I'm not sure. Wiring these things into racks, because they're housed in very large computer racks that are built by Dell or Supermicro, depending on which. And they're wiring them. And, you know, the company said yesterday, both on X and then on a background call with a company representative, that in a couple of weeks, the data center is going to power up for the first time, and that 110,000 chips will be online. And so if people remember back in December, the company said that they plan on having 1 million chips in Memphis, Tennessee. Okay. Well, they have 230,000 at Colossus 1. They're now about to have 110,000 online at Colossus 2. Musk also tweeted yesterday that they plan on having 550,000 in total at Colossus 2. So that brings us to about almost 900,000 chips between Colossus 1 and Colossus 2 if they fully build them out.
Where's the power coming from?
Yeah, so the power, the company was very vague in its background call. A company representative said yesterday that it will be coming from a variety of sources. Oh. And so last week we broke at the Daily Memphian, and this is why I'd been hanging out in South Haven, Mississippi. You once called it prowling, which I objected to.
You did.
In South Haven, Mississippi so much. Is the company bought a former Duke Energy natural gas plant, which is about a mile south as the crow flies from Colossus 2. That site, they also have purchased easements that could send power north to Colossus 2. And so the company, when asked yesterday, asked this very specific question. The company representative said that it will be a variety of power sources. Well, fill in the blanks, it is most likely Tesla Megapacks, which the company did say they will be using, and power coming north from the South Haven natural gas plant they just purchased.
Sam, appreciate all the good work.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right. That's Sam Hardiman from the Daily Memphian. So there you go. Oh, Jeffrey, we've had a time, haven't we?
It's quite been, quite the week.
It's been quite the week. So if you want to get out and get a good meal, relax, enjoy the world, I would recommend Ragin' Cajun. That's the new Cajun place in Bartlett. And it's just great. It's got a neighborhood feel to it. Mason Jambon, who was involved in Bounty, which I used to talk about, loved the fried oysters. And he's brought that same touch. It's a different kind of place because it's very much a neighborhood restaurant. It's got a great patio. And it's got like, you know, food straight from New Orleans. He's from New Orleans. And so you want a good po' boy? The bread's Leidenheimer bread, shipped right up from New Orleans. Get an oyster po' boy. Get the andouille sausage po' boy. But whatever you do, kicking back and having a great time at Ragin' Cajun, when they ask if you want dessert, say, yes, I want the bread pudding. Here it's great. It is unbelievably great. It is Ragin' Cajun, 2740 Bartlett Road in Bartlett, Cajun901.com to learn more. Jeffrey, what's coming up next?
Paul Feinbaum and Coach Hurd join Jason and John next.
Thanks for listening. We got to get out of here. Back tomorrow for now. Work's done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.